I officially wanted to do this while I was still officially preaching, but unfortunately we just couldn't get together well tonight. I want to thank the elders for this opportunity to be here tonight, to allow Well and I to exchange pulpits. Up in the Chicago area, we did this quite a bit because we wanted to get to know each other. We are a very close bunch of about 17 congregations in the Chicago area. I better turn on my little lapel here. Not used to wearing one. And we are very close, and I really appreciate those brethren very much, although I grew up in the Chicago area. But we would exchange pulpits just to get to know each other and have a closer relationship with one another. And I really appreciate your opportunity, or allowing me this opportunity to come here tonight. I'm not going to quit preaching, by the way. I will continue preaching, hopefully, in other areas and serving God and still holding meetings that are given to me. You know, I want to talk tonight about a very important subject. This lesson tonight is taken from a series of lessons that I presented about positive mental thinking, about being happy, about enjoying life, about serving God and being happy in doing so. But I want to talk about some gifts. And I don't mean just any kind of gifts. And they're not the type of gifts that you might think of. I want to talk about some gifts that we'll find that would help us in everyday relationships. You know, all of us love to receive gifts. We like to receive material gifts. I know that I like to watch my wife and children receive gifts. The anticipation, how they would tear open the package and be really excited. You know, my dad was, he was different or kind of worse than any of us children. He would actually try to rattle the package. He would even sneak and try to peek into it to see what was in it. He was worse than many of us. It's true, it's a joy to receive gifts. And you know, the Bible teaches that. If you turn your Bibles to Proverbs, I want you to read with me in Proverbs 17, verse 8. He said, a gift is as precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Notice that he said that when you receive the gift, it is something of great value. And that's true. And when we receive the gift, it's something that we really enjoy. Something that we appreciate. Before I actually get into the lesson, I want to mention something to you. That I'm a human being. I err. And for that reason, I want you to listen close to the things I'm about to present to you tonight. To make sure that they are according to God's will. And if they're not, you bring it to my attention. And I assure you, I count you as a friend. And I'll make it right with God and also unto you. Never preach or teach again. But you know, there's something special about these gifts. The type of gifts that I'm talking about tonight, you can't go and wrap them in a package. You can't put a little bow on top and give it to somebody. No, these type of gifts are the type of gifts you have to put into your character. You have to cultivate them. And when you read and study from God's Word tonight, when you learn these gifts, Greg, when you learn the gifts, Judy, apply it to your lives. I want you to go home. I want you to take and pin these up on the wall. I want you to paste them on your refrigerator door. And I want you to cultivate them into your life. And I guarantee you, Roger, if you will cultivate these gifts, you'll be a happy person. People will like you, and you're going to like people, and you're just going to enjoy life. You're going to enjoy serving God. What are some of these gifts? You know, the first gift that came to my mind that we can give people, they're so necessary for everyday relationships, for husband and wife, parent to child, employer and employee, brother and sister in Christ. And that's the gift of praise. Have you ever thought about the value of praising people? The value of praising actually one another and even praising our children? In the book of Philippians, if you turn your Bibles there, I'm so glad this lapel is not the kind that you have the wire hooked to the pulpit. I heard that Weldon almost took a trip today. When this very second sermon I ever preached, I took a trip. It was in an old country church down in southern Illinois. And they had a pulpit about half the size. And it was all fenced in and had stairs leading to it and stairs leading from it. And I just tripped and fell flat on my face. They didn't know who I was. And I got up and said, hi, my name is Rick.
And to top it off, I left my lesson, my Bible, and everything else. And I just had to preach from memory. In in Philippians, the first chapter, I want you to begin reading with me, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from the God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Always in remembrance, I'm dropping down to verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all make your request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day to now, being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Drop down to verse 9. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. What was Paul doing here, brother? What was Paul actually saying in these verses? He was praising the brethren at Philippi. In fact, if you go and read the whole book of Philippi, the book of Philippians, you'll find that the whole book is filled with praise. Paul was praising the brethren. He said, I'm so thankful for you. I thank you because you are faithful serving God. You help me in the ministry of serving God. Isn't that great? Paul could have came in and been very negative. Have you noticed how Jesus praised the churches, the seven churches of Asia? Before he went in and told the bad points, the negativism, what was the very first thing he did? I praise you, brethren. Why? At Ephesus? Because they were sound. They wouldn't endure evil people. Can you see the value of praising people? You know, Jesus praised people. He left us an example of praising people. Turn your Bibles, if you will, and I want you to look at Matthew, the 8th chapter. And look at verse 10 through 13. In Matthew 8, notice in verse 10 he says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall not be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, shall be cast out into outer darkness. Verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Can you see what Jesus was doing? He went to this man and said, you know, I have never found such great faith. No, not even among my own people. What was he doing? Was he praising the man? Yes. Was he praising him for his faith? Yes. Can you see the example that we have of praising? God always praised his people when they deserved it. Praise is so important. There's so much negativism in this world. There's so much negativism taught in school, in the pulpit. You know, it's so easy as a young preacher to preach negative. That's all you know. When I first began to preach, I know when I went back and looked at all my old sermons that I made up within the first year or a half, they were all negative. Because I was brought up, maybe, in a congregation of negativism. Why is it so hard to be positive? So easy to be negative? Why is it so easy, Greg, to look into a person and find faults in Bruce? I started looking at Bruce and saying, Bruce, you're a faithful serving God, and praising Bruce. Can you see the value of praising people? It's so easy to be negative and to find faults. Brethren, we have to learn to cultivate in our character the ability to praise. Husbands, when was the last time that you looked at your wife and praised her for her beauty? That might sound corny to you, but it's not. When was the last time he turned to your wife and said, I really love you. I'm thankful unto you because you are very faithful and serving and working with me. You're very good with the children. You take care of the house. You cook the meals. When was the last time that you praised your wife? You know, we take little things for granted. We take our wives for granted. We think, well, it's their duty. Is it really their duty? Do they have more of an obligation to raise the children than you? Has it been that long ago that you turned and praised your wife? What about the wives? When was the last time that you personally went and looked at your husband and said, well, I really am thankful that you're very faithful in serving me or faithful with me? For some reason, I think about serving. And there's no service in marriage. It's 100 to 100% of an adjustment, a love between a husband and wife. There's got to be that praise. Wives, when was the last time that you really praised your husband? Because of his faithfulness to God. Bringing home the money. Has it been that long ago? What about children praising their parents? Young people, when was the last time you threw your arm around your dad or your mom? When was the last time that you just thanked them because they're raising you? They're giving you the needs to provide unto you a good living? Has it been that long ago? You know, you see these little bumper stickers. Parents, have you hugged your child today? I saw one the other day. It was really nice. Children, have you hugged your parents today? When's the last time you praised your parents? Parents, when was the last time you took your child and praised your child? When's the last time you took your child and said, you know, I'm really thankful that you're a servant of God. I'm really thankful that you don't go out here and mess with drugs. Do we just take that for granted? Sometimes we do. Isn't it sad? You know, this one particular father heard a story about a father that was very stern in his child about report cards. And usually when the child brought home a report card of all C's, he would ground the child or whip the child. He said, you know, I'm going to try something different this time. And you know, the child brought home a report card and he was really worried he was going to get grounded. And to his surprise, his father looked at the report card and was all C's. And he turned to his child and he said, you know, son, he said, I'm really thankful that you didn't make any D's or any F's. Well, you know what happened that next report card period? Lo and behold, that young man had all A's and B's. Can you see the value of praising? Learn to praise. When was the last time you praised your brother in Christ? When was the last time you turned to your brother and sister, you know, I really care about you. I'm so thankful that you're faithful serving God. You really encourage me. Has it been that long ago? Have you ever done it? Now I want you to be honest with yourself. When was the last time that you praised someone? Why don't you try praising somebody? You'll find you just might like it. Give a gift. Give the gift of praise. Oh, it's so important for everyday relationships. It's so important to children, to parents, and to brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, another gift that I find in the Bible that many of us just are not aware of, that we don't think very much of, and that's the gift of consideration. It's so important to realize the needs of other people and to consider their feelings. In Romans, the 12th chapter, if you turn your Bibles, I want you to turn there and read with me. Romans chapter 12. I want you to look at verse 10. The Apostle Paul was writing to the brethren at Rome. He said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one and another. You know, the word preferring means to be considerate. We need to learn to be considerate toward other people. You know, God has always been considerate toward his people. He always looked out for the best interests of His people. Sometimes we say things, we do things to hurt people, don't we? Sometimes we might say some hurtful thing to our spouse, and then we turn around and say, well, you know, I didn't mean to say that. I said that without thinking. No, the truth is, you didn't think long enough before you spoke.
Some people have what I call cattle disease. You know what that is? The old timers might know. It's putting an old hoof in your mouth. That means you don't think before you speak. You don't think everything out. And you say some things that can really hurt people's feelings. Why? Because you don't consider their needs and their feelings. You're not considerate. You know, we need to be considerate. I think being young and as a teenager, I wish I was back in those teenage years, but teenagers have a difficult time in life. I believe it's a time of life that we just don't show the consideration that we need to show to our parents. It's a time of year that we become selfish and we're not considerate. I know I wasn't when I was a teenager. I know that when I used to be late, I used to think this was very funny. But if I was just a little bit late, my father would begin to look out the window. And as soon as I would pull up in the driveway, he would hop on the couch and act like he was sleeping. And when I came in the door, he'd hop up and say, oh, what time is it? Are you home? And he knew well what time it was. But you see, I wasn't considerate. I didn't think about my dad, how he was worried. Young people, if you're going to run out of gas, the least you can do is stop along the way and tell your parents. Be considerate. Think of their needs. Learn to give that gift of consideration. Oh, if you do that, you'll be much happier in life. If you learn to give praises and consideration to people, you're going to enjoy life. You know, I think life is like an echo. I heard a story one day about a young boy who, out of a fit of anger, yelled at his mom. He said, Mom, I hate you! And out of the fear of being punished, he ran up into the mountainside. And he yelled out in the valley, I hate you, 3 times. And it came back to him, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. And being startled, he went back to the house. He said, Mom, there's a mean little boy out in that valley that hates me. And the mom took him by the hand and took him up into the hillside again. He said, son, I want you to yell out, I love you, 3 times. The boy did. To his surprise, you know what came back, Bruce? I love you. I love you. I love you. You see, life is enough. What you send out is what you get. What you give is what you get. Paul said, you sow what you reap. If you're going to be negative, if you're going to be down on people, if you're going to find faults in people, they're going to do it to you. If you're unhappy, people are going to see it because you treat them ill, pardon me, you treat them ill. You've got to learn to treat people as you want to be treated. You've got to learn to be considerate. Give a gift today. Give a gift in consideration. You might like it. So needful in everyday relationships. There's another very important gift that many of us overlook in life. These little gifts are so vital to our relationships. And that's the gift of attention. You might think, well, that's awful strange. No, not really. Attention is so important in everyday living. We need to learn to pay attention to people. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, if you remember the thoughts of Christ after every single letter, do you remember the words that he stated? He said, if I recall correctly, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. What, Lord? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. You know what that means? Pay attention. Give heed. Right? Pay attention. Well, many of us have a problem.
We love to talk, but we don't like to listen. Attention is so important in everyday relationship. We find that attention is needful for us to get along with people. God especially wants our attention. When I think about attention and serving God, that means to actually have our minds on what we're doing. Perhaps maybe right now your mind is wondering, what am I going to do after the service? You might be tired and you're ready to sleep. If you want to sleep, go home. Go to bed. That's where you need to go to sleep. You want a manicure? Go to a manicurist. There's no place in the service. Give God your undivided attention. Let me tell you something. Husband and wives need attention. I keep telling Debbie that all the time. Show me attention. So vital. Children need attention. Oh, they need so much of our time and attention. And they deserve it. I remember one time, Kelly got in this phase. She was my oldest girl. She would take and turn my face for us to listen to her when she talked. And this one particular time, I was working on the car, and she came up, and she began to talk to me a little bit. And I wasn't watching her and wasn't paying attention. I said, yeah, honey, that's right. That's really good, honey. And she came over and she turned my face. She said, Daddy, look at me. You see what she wanted? She wanted my undivided attention. She deserves it, right? Our children need our attention. There's a song, if I can read it without crying, because it chokes me up. It's a sad song, but I'll tell you what. About 80% of the husbands and parents in this world are just like the song. A child arrived just the other day called Cats in the Cradle. He came to the world in an unusual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. Cats in a cradle and a silver spoon. Little boy blue and a man of moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. But we'll get together then, son. You know, we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. And he said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know I'm going to be like him. When he came home from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? Cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when. But we'll get together then, Dad. You know, we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired. My son moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you, if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and my kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure nice talking to you. As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. What was the problem? You see, while the father was in his time of retirement, oh, how he wanted the attention of his son, his child. But you see, during the whole life of the child, when the child needed his father, when he wanted and craved for his father's love and attention, oh, father was too busy.
too busy. You want to know one reason why I got out of preaching? I was too busy. Busy saving the world instead of saving my family. Oh, you can get caught up in whatever you do. It's not just preaching. It doesn't matter what your job is. You know what's really sad in America? We have both husband and wife working. I don't have anything about it against a woman working. But so many children are left to the babysitters. Just went up on the other side of Inglewood, a big complex, and it's a daycare center. A huge complex. A duplex, actually, what it is. It's a duplex of two different types of babysitting places, daycare centers. And I thought about all those children being raised by strangers. Do you think they can give your child the attention, the love that child deserves? No. You know, my dad always taught me one thing. He taught all of us kids. He said, let me tell you something. No child is ever asked to be born into this world. You give the love and attention that they deserve. And that's true. Parents, give a gift today. Give your child some attention. Oh, it's so necessary. So necessary. And that brings me to the next point, and that's the gift of presence. Have you ever thought the value of presence? How important your presence is to the, perhaps maybe to the congregation here? How important your presence is to your spouse and to your children? Oh, we just read a song where the man, he didn't give his child the presence, but oh, he craved the children when he got older. He wanted the presence of his children. You know, Christ craved the presence of people. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he wanted the presence of the apostles. Turn your Bibles, if you will. I want you to look at Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, I want you to look at verse 37 through 40. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, finding them asleep, and he said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me with 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He wanted the apostles. He said, Peter, couldn't you just stay awake? Can you be with me with this horrible hour? I need you. Peter couldn't be there. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would have no compassion. No compassion. You know, when I think about friends, there are three gentlemen in the Bible. They impress me more than anybody I've ever read about. And that's the three friends of Job. Have you read the account of Job's three friends? If you turn your Bibles to Job chapter 2, look at verse 11 and 12. The Bible says they rent their clothes and they were sad and they began to weep with Job. But the Bible said they sat there 7 days and didn't say one word. Did they have to? Their presence said it all, didn't it? Oh, the value of presence. When I think about our presence, I remember back in Murfreesboro, David and I came from Nashville, Tennessee, which is Murfreesboro, actually. And we came from an older congregation. And David and I used to go every Friday and visit the elderly people in their homes. And we really enjoyed it. But you know, every single house that we went into, you know what the conversation was all about? Debbie knows. Their children. You know, every picture that we looked in the album, you know what they showed us, Judy? Greg, their children.
They long for their children. They crave the presence of their children. Brother Stacy, he was an elderly man down in Murfreesboro, to my knowledge, he's still living. Guy was about in his 90s. He said to me, he said, you know, he has one living relative, a granddaughter. And she lived out in California. Never, ever visit him. You know, every single time I would walk in there, he would tell me, my granddaughter's coming. She's coming to see me. But the granddaughter never came. You don't think that's sad? You see, he craved her presence. We need to learn to give the gift. Let's give ourselves the presence, spending time with one another. Oh, it's so important. Your presence means so much right now, tonight. Encourage your brother in Christ. What do you think the Bible says about not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together? Why? Because he said you can provoke unto love and good works. Can you see how vital your presence is? Those of us who are living, those of us who have living parents, I should say, aging parents, when was the last time you just called them up to say hi? When was the last time you took a vacation instead of going off maybe to the Bahamas or something, or down to Florida? Why don't you take your vacation to go see your mom and dad? When you go home tonight, you think about your mom and dad. Give them a call. They want your presence. They miss you. And we ought to miss them. Oh, it's so vital. Giving the gift of presence. It's more important than anything else. The last one, the lesson be yours. And that's the gift of apology. You know, some people have so much pride, don't they? They can't say, I'm sorry. They can't say, I was wrong. They can't turn to their own spouse and say, honey, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I was wrong. They just have so much pride. Learn to give the gift of apology. You know, making up is so great that I love to get Debbie mad just to make up. I mean, seriously. We have to learn to say, hey, I was wrong. I'm sorry for what I did. We have examples of that in the Bible. Look at Christ. When he was on the cross, he apologized. He turned to the Father in heaven and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Now, he had no right to apologize legally or socially, morally, but he did it. What about the prodigal son? When he sinned, do you remember what he said to his father? He said, oh, I sinned. I sinned before God and I sinned before you. Forgive me. Husband and wives, when was the last time you ever got angry and you just wouldn't say, I'm sorry? You're just so stubborn, so mad, so angry. You can't find where you can humble yourself and say, I was wrong. What about us in the church? What about our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ? Do some of us have so much pride that we can't admit that we're wrong? You know why I state in the very beginning of every sermon that I can make a mistake? Because I made mistakes. Times I could be wrong. You've got to learn to humble yourself. Like Christ did. And say, I'm sorry. What about those on our audience who are not children of God? You need to say, I'm sorry to God. You need to ask God to forgive you of your sins and not obeying His will. You need to look at Christ and say, Lord, please forgive me. I didn't mean to grieve you. Committing the sins. And obey His will and be baptized for the remission of sins. You may have the hope of eternal life. You know, there's a lot of young people here. And young people, I don't have anything to offer you in life but the gospel. But I'll tell you what, if you, while you're young, will cultivate these little gifts, oh, will you have a much richer life. And you'll enjoy life to the fullest. If you just try to cultivate these while you're young. If you're here, need to comply to the gospel, why not do so while we're standing and singing?